Welcome to the Future Funeral Service. I am your host, Robin Heppel from funeralfutures.com. We are continuing our series of pre-convention interviews for the Oregon Funeral Directors Association annual convention that is going to be held in Seaside, Oregon from April 24th to 27th. Today's guest is Bob Cabasi, an attorney partner from Kell, Alterman, and Runstein, a law firm in Portland. Bob, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome, Bob. Now, you're presenting at the convention there at Seaside for the OFDA, and I was just wondering if you could, first of all, just let the listeners know what the title of the topic and maybe give a little bit of background on that.
Sure. The presentation is scheduled for Saturday at 9 o'clock, and the title of the presentation is Making the Right Moves for the Future, and specifically, my topic is going to be focused on exit strategies in a business context. A lot of convention attendees have businesses, and having an exit strategy is really important. And I'll draw an analogy right from the get-go between, say, a cruise ship and a business. The first thing you do on a cruise ship is to basically identify what happens if the cruise ship starts sinking. What is the exit strategy from the cruise mm-hmm. ship? Same thing with a business. There are a number of events that can occur with a business, such as death of the owner, disability, retirement, business decline, etc. What is the exit strategy so that the owner can get away without losing his shirt?
Mm-hmm. Well, and it is a big issue because the majority of owners right now are baby boomers, and they're kind of getting in that age of that they need to deal with this probably within the next 5 or 10 years.
Yes, they do. And one of the first steps that they have to realize is identifying what things could happen with their business, and identify their structure and who could be the exit strategy for them. They also need to sit down and identify the characters and their goals that they want to accomplish with an exit strategy. Without that roadmap, it's really kind of like shooting in the dark. So we'll talk Saturday about how you define your goals and who are the common characters as part of the discussions around designing up a good exit strategy.
Okay. No, and that would include whether the goal is to sell to an outside party, to maybe sell to a key staff member, or if it's more succession planning to maybe the next generation.
Absolutely, because businesses get disposed of in very basic ways. One, they just go away, which can be financially disastrous. Two, they can be sold, or three, they can be gifted. And a lot of people who are in the want to sell the business category, we have to have a very honest discussion about where's the money going to come from to buy the business. If you have a key employee that doesn't have any income and no borrowing capacity, how is the money going to be generated so that the business can be purchased? And to kind of stick your head in the sand and just say, well, it'll all work out, is one of the top 10 mistakes that we'll discuss at Saturday's meeting that should be avoided so that when you get to that point of retirement or the succession moment, a plan has been put in place to have the money available to accomplish what your goals are.
Mm-hmm. Now, Bob, not everyone can make the presentation, so what would be a little bit of advice here. If I was a funeral home owner and had a couple kids, and how do I just start that? How do I start that conversation? Do you have any suggestions for me?
I certainly do, and I will finish the conversation with how do you get started. First thing is talking to your professionals. There are a number of advisors such as accountants and attorneys, financial advisors, insurance advisors. Your professionals can be a great resource to get the conversation started. Mm-hmm. Savvy professionals will help you identify your goals and really pin down what you're looking to accomplish. You'll need to then identify a series of tools to accomplish those goals and explore information supporting those tools to determine whether or not they fit your particular comfort level and business model. Then, and this is a tough one for many business owners, they're so engaged in business and they're so engaged in profitability and employees. And, you know, the average business owner works in excess of 2,000 hours a year, but they have to designate a little bit of time to this process, and they have to commit that time to this process, because if they don't, then they're making another mistake that we'll talk about, which is just either wishful thinking or failing to plan at all. And those things can have, again, disastrous results for people. So at the end, I'll talk about, you know, the average adult watches 3 hours of TV a night, and I suggest maybe peeling some of that time away, allocating it toward exit strategy, because the peace of mind that will be provided is substantial to the business owner.
Well, and you know, Bob, the funny thing is, we preach to our clients that you know, they should pre-plan for someone's actual exit strategy for on their life, and right. Almost a little hypocritical when we don't look at it from our own business perspective.
Right, right. That's exactly a valid analogy there. Yes, sir.
So you know, the concept's not that far off. So what about when you know, maybe you've got kids and they don't want to do it. They don't want the business. They've seen mom and dad, you know, work hard at the funeral home for their entire lives, and they want to do something else. What would be another option then?
Yeah, that's a tougher question, and this is part of the discussion we'll have about the characters involved. And You know, 30% of businesses survive to the next generation, and then only 10% survive to the next generation. And a lot of times businesses fail, or 70% of businesses fail, after the owner decides to call it quits, because, you know, kids aren't interested, or they're not qualified, or they think they're qualified, but they're really not, and there's no natural successor. So if you are looking to have a business as your part of your retirement package, as part of your goal system, you've got to find a buyer. And there are either natural buyers or created buyers. Natural buyers are another company that comes along and writes you a check, and you turn the business over to a natural buyer. A created buyer may be someone like key employee or some other person interested in the business, say a partner, for instance, that could buy out your interest. Those types of things need to be discussed in advance as part of the character exploration as to who is involved and what are their realistic qualifications. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I talk to people and they say that their children are in the business, and I ask whether their children are qualified to run the business, and there's a long pause, and they want to support their children and be fans of their children, yet know that they may not be ready. In those types of situations, part of the exit strategy may be a teaching and training to become a better manager, to become an owner, to fit into those shoes so that it doesn't fall into the 70% of businesses that don't pass along. The second thing that is very important is to coordinate the overall estate plan or will and trust plan as it relates to the business, so that a business doesn't pass along to an heir that may not want it. So having a will and trust done in combination with an exit strategy is going to be a critical component of an overall plan for success.
Okay, now, Bob, what about, you know, you also mentioned there about gifting, so maybe you need to elaborate on that a little bit, because I'm thinking, so I've worked hard all this time and I'm just going to give it away? What are the options there?
For business owners who have accumulated a lot of wealth during their lifetime, they may not need the economic value of the business for their care later on in life. And in those situations, it may be appropriate to be using the business through a leveraged gifting mechanism to to pass the business to the next generation, rather than increase the taxable estate of the current owner. Because what some people may not realize is that currently, for federal estate tax purposes, the first $2 million will pass tax-free, and everything over that is taxed at 37 to 45%. Now, those limits are going up, and at this time, who knows what Congress is going to do related to the rules. But I think that it's very important that those rules have to be taken into account so that if the business owner decides to sell the business, they're not going to lose upwards of potentially half of it to taxes at their death.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, obviously, Bob, there's a lot of things that all owners need to consider and it sounds like the attendees are going to get a great education from you on at the end of the month down in Seaside.
Well, I hope so, and I hope that because one of my hobbies is magic, and so I'll be hopefully demonstrating some of the important intellectual principles with some entertaining effects as well.
Oh, well, that sounds really interesting. So I won't miss it. That's for sure. Before I let you go, Bob, any final comments or thoughts?
Yeah, I think one final thing that we've mentioned already, but I can't emphasize enough, is the old adage of not being a penny wise and a pound foolish. You know, that comes from the saying where you save a penny but you lose a pound, which is worth much more than a penny. And in this complicated world today, failure to consult with professionals and thinking that you can do it on your own can lead to negative consequences and results. I wouldn't dare try to perform surgery on myself or dare try to repair a cavity by myself. And the financial world is very similar. There are professionals with expertise, and I think consulting with professionals managing the costs there can yield and provide much greater benefits down the road. And so, you know, part of our topic will be how do you approach professionals and make sure that it's not a black hole of fees and a negative experience. So
mm-hmm.
I think final advice would be, you know, there are a lot of people out there with a lot of knowledge, and a savvy business owner is going to recognize their own inability to analyze a particular situation and use the resources of others, because as a community, that's how we grow.
That's right. And again, it's something that we as funeral directors and funeral home owners, we... you know, we're the professionals and the experts in our field, and you know, when we see families try to do it on their own and see them flounder, maybe you should have sought out professional advice, and your scenario is no different, Bob, and we all need to take heed on that.
Yeah.
Okay, Bob. Well, I'll let you go, but I look forward to seeing you down in Seaside.
Thank you for having me today.
You're welcome. Now, I'd like to thank Bob Cabasi, an attorney partner at Kell, Alderman, and Runstein, who will be presenting at the OFDA annual convention from April 24th to 27th in Seaside, Oregon. For more information and registration details, visit www.ofda.org. Check back soon for another pre-conference interview. And on behalf of thefuneralgurus.com, this is Robin Heppel. And remember, embrace the future.